Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you, saints. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministries. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory and I give you praise. I worship you today, God, as I give this gift back unto you, Lord God, through the Holy Spirit. I ask you to speak through these lips of clay. Father, as I submit to your will and as I submit and give myself to your spirit, Father God, that you, God, would take control of everything that's said and done in these next 30 minutes and that you would be glorified and your people would be edified, the church would be built up. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and give you all the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I am so excited to be teaching this message today. Thank God for those of you that consistently listen and pray for this ministry and pray for me. I really do appreciate that, and I want to tell you thank you. We're coming to you today out of 2 Kings chapter 4. This is a message God gave to me yesterday. I was at church, Pastor Meredith Church yesterday in Conyers, Georgia, and he was teaching, and this is one of the scriptures that came up. And God began to deal with my heart about this scripture in 2 Kings chapter 4. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little bit about the message. The name of the message today is Borrow Not a Few. Borrow Not a Few. And I'm going to be referring to that back in again throughout the message because I really want to nail that. I want to nail that nail. Amen. I want to hit that nail often because I want you to really get what God is saying for the body of Christ today. Now, I want you to know that this is a prophetic message because God told me that the borrower and the lender are getting ready to change places. No longer will you borrow. Hallelujah. We're going to read Deuteronomy 28 in a minute. He said, no longer will you be the tell, but you shall be the head. You will lend and not borrow. And God said these things are going to take place in the body of Christ for those that are walking in obedience to him and for those that are looking and expecting to receive. We're going to talk about that as well today. But the Bible says God told me the borrower and the lender are getting ready to change places. God also want me to let you know, living in faith, and this is a statement that I want you to meditate on, living in faith is also living in the realm of expectation, not disappointment. The devil wants you to think that God is going to disappoint you. Hallelujah. I felt the anointing on that. But I'm telling you, God will never disappoint you. Praise the Lord. Living in faith is also living in the realm of expectation. You should be living in a realm of excitement and expectation daily for what God is, for the word of God, number one, and for what God is about to do in your life. Now, some of the scriptures that come to my mind when I talk about this is the scripture that says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, the Bible says, have he said it and have he not did it? Hallelujah. God will perform. He said he watched over his word. That's not just the written word, the logos, but that's the spoken word. Amen. That's the spoken word of God. So if God have given you a word, amen, the Bible said a true prophet, not one word will fall to the ground that he speaks. Amen. Hallelujah. And some of you have been given words by true prophets. I want you to know that word is still hanging over your head, but there's got to be an expectation. There's got to be an atmosphere of expectation in order for that word to manifest. You have to expect it. Amen. Walk by faith. Faith without works is dead, saints. You can have it in your heart, but you got to have an expectation to receive in the spirit. And we're going to talk about that today in the natural realm. Your expectation is what takes it from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. Amen. Even the three Hebrew boys, I'm reminded of that scripture where they said, we won't bow to this image that you have created. They said, because even if God does not deliver us, we still won't bow. But they lived in an atmosphere of expectation, an attitude of expectation, not knowing what God was going to do or how he was going to do it. Amen. Abraham, being the father of faith, he didn't know where the ram was, but Isaac said, I see the fire and I see the wood. You know, but where's the sacrifice? Hallelujah. But he nevertheless allowed himself to be bound because it was the will of his father. Amen. And he walked, and Isaac walked in obedience just as much as Abraham did, because he could have ran, he could have said, "No, I don't want to be. I'm not going to let you do this to me." But no, he submitted. Amen. He gave himself over to the will of his father. And Abraham, loving him and knowing that in Isaac was the promise. Amen. Isaac was the promised child. But Abraham knew that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Saints, hallelujah. This shows you that Abraham, that's why he's called the father of faith. God said, "I'm going to give you more children than you can count the sand. If you can count the sand on the seashore, or if you can count the stars in the heavens." Amen. God said, "That's going to be your, amen, your inheritance, Abraham." And we know that you can count an earthly inheritance. Abraham, the children of Israel can be counted. Amen. It's not talking about a natural seed. He was talking about the children of faith. Hallelujah. He was talking about the children of faith, and he was not talking about just the natural children of Abraham. He said the spiritual children of Abraham, you will not be able to count if you cannot count the sand or the stars in the sky. Amen. Praise God. So God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Another scripture says, all of the promises of God in him, talking about in Christ Jesus, are yea and amen. Hallelujah. All of the promises of God are yea and amen. So I'm telling you, saints, we must be persuaded that God's word is sure. God's word is sure. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Amen. God said, heaven and earth will pass away before one tittle or one jot of his word will pass away. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to read over in 2 Kings chapter 4. I want you to turn over there. Amen. I got to pull it up real quick. Just give me 1 second. Because I want to pull it up on my screen here. Just give me 1 second. Okay, here we go. The Bible says, now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elijah. We know Elijah was over the school of the prophets, amen. So one of the prophets, one of the sons of the prophets that was in school of the prophets under Elisha, said, his wife said, or his widow said, thy servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons as bondmen. So here we see that one of Elijah's servants was dead, but that he had left a debt. And in those days, they used to have debt, what they call debtor's prison, so to speak. If you owed a debt and you die and you still owe that debt, they could come and take your children to serve and pay off that debt, to serve them and pay off that debt. So she said, the bondman has come to take my two sons to be bondmen. And this word bondman means slaves, servants, until the debt is paid in full. In other words, she was telling Elisha, he worked for you, number one, and he feared the Lord, number two. But also she said, he left me on this large bill, and now the creditors want their money. What should I do? Let's look at what God said about debt. I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to talk. I'm not going to read word for word, but you can read it later. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, these are the blessings. He talks about the blessings of obedience and the curses of obedience. But the first 14 verses talk about the blessing, and that's what we're going to talk about, the blessing of being obedient. Now, this woman knew the word of God. She knew that the blessings that came from obeying God, that's why she said, your servant feared the Lord. And she knew because of the word of God that was listed in Deuteronomy 28, she had an expectation to receive something from God. Amen. And let's turn over to Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. The Bible says, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Amen. The blessing is going to come on you and overtake you. We talk about that all the time. The blessing of the Lord is going to overtake me. But let me tell you, you have to walk in total and 100% obedience to God. The Bible says one little leaven leavens the whole lump. So one area of disobedience in your life could be stopping the blessing from overtaking you. But the Bible says if you hearken and obey, that means listen with your spiritual ear and obey the word, then this is what's going to happen. The Bible says, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your ground. Blessed shall be your cattle, your kin, and your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. You shall be blessed, the Bible says, coming in, and the Bible says going out. Hallelujah. The blessing is overtaking you. The Bible says another part of the blessing is that your enemies shall be smitten before your face. You will see your enemies being smitten before your face. The Bible says they will come one way, but they shall flee seven ways. Another blessing that comes from obedience to God is that your storehouses and all that you set your hands to do, the Bible says, shall be blessed. The Lord shall bless you in the land that he is giving you. Some of us, God has called us out to take us in. Amen. The Lord shall bless you in the land that he is giving you. And sometimes we're trying to hold on to the old. What if Moses had, and the children of Israel, which they did, try to hold on to Egypt, the things they learned in Egypt? That's why when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, when he came back, they had made a golden calf with their jewelry that God had blessed them with. They took the blessing of God and turned it into a curse. The Bible says that Moses melted that calf and made them drink it. The Bible says that Moses broke the Ten Commandments because he was so upset with them because they said, this is our God that brought us out. They turned the glory of God into an idol. Amen. And that's what the devil wants to do today. He don't want you to give God the glory. Amen. He wants to get the glory. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says the Lord shall bless you in the land he has given you. The Lord shall establish you to be holy. That means clean living. And all the nations shall fear you because you carry the name of the Lord. The child of God, I keep telling you, the children of God, there should be a difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy. I'm not talking about what you wear and what you put on. I'm talking about how you carry yourself, how you conduct yourself. The Bible says that a woman that is holy, her husband is won by her conversation or her manner of life. It's the way you carry yourself that wins people, that shows people that there's a difference. Amen. The Bible says that the Lord shall establish you to be holy, and all the nations shall fear you. Another blessing, the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. That means you have more than enough, which is what this woman was looking at in the book of 2 Kings. The Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. He also shall make you plenteous in the fruit of your body. That means you're blessed. You're not going to be barren. And in the fruit of your cattle. In the fruit, that means your cattle shall always produce good cattle. In the fruit of your ground, your crops shall always produce good crops. And in the land that he is giving you, you're going to be blessed. The next thing says, the Lord shall open to me his good treasure to give rain to my land in his season and to bless all the works of my hands. I shall lend. Now, this is what I took it. I turned it around. It said, thou shalt lend. But I said, I shall lend and not borrow. The Lord shall make me the head and not the tail. The Lord shall make me above and not beneath. Then in verse 15 in Deuteronomy 28, it starts talking about the curses if we don't obey. You need to go through Deuteronomy 28 and set your expectation. But the three things that I want you to remember, if you don't remember anything else from this, Deuteronomy 28, you shall lend and not borrow. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. Amen. So let me go back over to 2 Kings chapter 4. And the Bible says, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me. Then he said, what do you have in your house? He asked her some questions. First he asked her, what do you want me to do? Then he said, okay, I know what you want me to do, but what do you have in your house? Because God is a God of multiplication. You give him a little bit, and he multiplies it. Amen. God could do a miracle because he created something from nothing. But why should he have to when he already gave us the earth? He said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He gave us the earth. He said have dominion over the earth. So sometimes God just wants you to give him something to work with. So he said, what do you have in your house? And she said, thine handmaid have not anything in the house except a pot of oil. I want to tell you, she didn't think that was a lie. She was just like the other woman who said, we're ready to make this crust of bread, and we're going to eat it and die. This woman said, all I have is a pot of oil. Amen, one pot of oil. But Elijah said, That's all God needs. Hallelujah. He said, go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. And he said, borrow not a few. That's the key that God gave me yesterday, saints. He said, borrow not a few. He told her to go and borrow the vessels, but he said, borrow not a few. So I want to ask you, do you have a pot of oil? And what is your pot of oil? This might be a business idea that you can sow. It might be something that God has given you in your spirit to do. But whatever it is, if you do it, God said you shall become debt-free and live off the rest. Because he told her, you're going to become debt-free. You're going to have enough left over. If you obey God and don't borrow just a few, that means set your expectation high. That means I expect for you, the more that I give you, the more that I obey you, the more that I do as you have said, the more that I expect for God to do for me. Amen, because he's obligated by his word. So he said, go and borrow, but don't borrow a little. Don't borrow a few. Get as many as you can. Go abroad. Go to your neighbors. Go everywhere and borrow empty vessels and bring them back, setting her expectation up. So I want you to know God took this woman from poverty to having more than enough left over with just one miracle. So she said, thine handmaid have not anything in the house except a pot of oil. He said, go and borrow vessels. That means whatever, abroad, highways, fields, outside. Sometimes you got to get outside of your comfort zone. He said, of your neighbors. Sometimes you may have to go to somebody that you normally would not go to in this time to borrow or ask because you need a miracle. He had two stipulations. He said, number one, the vessels must be empty. And he said, borrow not a few. That means broaden your vision, enlarge your territory, increase your faith, and get ready to receive. Now, I'm sure she wanted to stop after a few and say, but the words of the prophet kept burning in her ears, borrow not a few. She probably wanted to stop. She got tired, but she kept remembering the prophet said, borrow not a few. So that kept pushing her and propelling her, amen, to go get more. Borrow not a few. Amen. So she kept going and going and going on the word of the prophet. I'm sure she thought within herself, I don't know what God is going to do or why he's asking me to get these vessels, but I know he's going to do something. You don't have to understand everything. The Bible said line by line and precept by precept will God show you his way. Amen. So you may not have the whole picture yet, but as you follow him, Jesus says, you follow on to know me, then shall I be found of you. Amen. So I want you to ask yourself today, what is God up to now in my life? What is the next step for me? Where is God taking me next? In verse 4, the Bible says, after you have collected as many as you can, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come back, and I want you to shut the door. And then he said, I want you to start pouring. Amen. Let me go back to verse 4. He said, when you are come in, thou shalt shut the door upon you and upon your sons. So this was something that nobody else was privy to. And he said, I want you to pour out into those vessels and set aside that which is full. So as you pour, I want you to separate the full vessels from the empty vessels because I want to show you the miracle working power of God. The Bible says, so she went from him and shut the door upon him and upon her sons. The man of God was not in the room, but the woman was walking in obedience. The Bible says she shut the door upon herself and her sons. They were the only ones in there, and the sons brought the vessels to her, and the Bible says she began to pour the oil. Amen. And it came to pass in verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the Bible says the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest. Amen. So in verse 6, I know I just want to go back and talk about this for a minute. She started pouring the oil into the vessels. He told her to set that aside. And we know oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Amen. So in verse 6, I can see where it got good to her. Because when the vessels were full, she told her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said, there is not a vessel more. And that is when the oil stopped. Not before. The oil did not stop until she ran out of vessels. Hallelujah. That's why God told her, borrow not a few, because she needed an overflow blessing. Sometimes we stop the flow of oil by not making room for more in our life, not being obedient, not expecting more. I want you to know God will reward your expectations. Verse 7, he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live. Now that word lives means lives prosperously, not sick, not discouraged, not faint-hearted. It means to have more than enough and to have a reserve. Amen. So he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live. Amen. Thou and thy children on the rest. If you're not walking in an overcoming life, if you're not walking in more than enough, if you're not living in the prosperous life from obedience, not from selling out to the devil or not walking in full obedience to God, some people, the devil will give you prosperity because he wants you to sell out. But I'm telling you, when you give God your all and you obey God in fullness, amen, God can bless you like no other, like no devil can. He said, go and sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live, thou and thy children off the rest. This all happened, saints, because she had an expectation. We can see in Scripture that God moves when we have an expectation to receive, because the expectation is a sign of our faith. The same thing happened in Acts chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible says, the man was sitting at the gate called Beautiful. He saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asked in alms. Peter, fixing his eyes on him with John, said, look at us. That was an act of obedience. So he gave them his attention, the Bible says, expecting to receive something from them. This man, when he looked at Peter and John, he didn't know what they was going to give him, but he was expecting to receive. He had an attitude of expectation that opened up the doorway to his miracle. We always say prayer moves God, but I want you to know the Scripture teaches that it's expectation that moves God. Jesus himself lived a life of expectation for God the Father. In Matthew 14 and 16, Jesus said unto them, when they were talking about feeding the 5,000, the disciples said, where shall we get food to feed all these? He said, let them go so they can go back to the city and eat. Jesus said, they need not depart. Why don't you give them something to eat? And they said unto him, we don't have anything but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Remember I told you, sometimes God just wants you to give him a little so he can multiply. When you expect God to multiply something, you have to live in an atmosphere of expectation. He said, bring me the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit on the grass. Don't you know if Jesus did not expect for God to multiply, he would have looked like a fool, telling them to sit down in groups of 50 on the grass. And the Bible says he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he looked up to heaven, and he blessed them, and he gave thanks. That's what blessed means. He gave thanks to God for the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And the Bible said as he began to break it off, he gave the loaves to his disciples. The same way the woman poured the oil, Jesus gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. And the Bible said they did all eat, and they were filled. 5,000 people ate off of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes because Jesus lived in an atmosphere of expectation. The Bible says they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. That symbolizes the overflow. Not only will you have enough, but when God begins to multiply, he gives you a reserve. He gives you something that you can have a live prosperously off of. The Bible said they had 12 baskets left after everybody had ate and was full. Hallelujah. The miracle of multiplication, again, exemplified by living in an atmosphere of expectation. When Jesus made the men to sit in groups of 50 and gave the loaves to his disciples to distribute, he set the atmosphere of expectation. He expected that he would have more than enough. We need to live our lives, especially when we go to church, if no other time, really 7 days a week, but definitely when we go to church on Sunday, expecting for God to move. I found an article, I looked up expectation, I found an article that said that infants use expectations to shape their brains. So an infant, a baby, 5 to 7 months, they did a trial on them, and they found out that when you put something before the baby's eyes, even if you take that thing away from them, they still, because they saw it and they expect it, amen, that it changes something in their brain. It shapes their brain to receive because they expect to receive. Amen. We have to retrain our brains in the same way to live a life of expectation. Live a life that pleases God and know that he is well able to do that which he has promised. But he's only going to move by your faith. Faith without works is dead. When you set the expectation to receive, that is your work of faith. That concludes my message today. Amen. But the Bible says that the woman got, that God told her, go and pay your debt, live, and you and her children off the rest. And you shall be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, lender and not borrower. Amen. God bless you. I pray that this message bless you today as I close out for Manna Teacher Ministry. I try to be sensitive to God. When he gives me a message, I try to preach it because manna, amen, is meant to be shared on a day-to-day basis. Next week's manna is not going to be the same as what you need today. Amen. You can't save it from day to day. You can't. The Bible said begin to breed worms and stink when they try to save it from day to day. So I try to give you what God has given me on a daily basis, at least weekly, so that we can walk in the Spirit, amen, and stay in the Spirit, amen, and receive the spiritual food. There is nourishment for our souls, amen. So God bless you. I love you. And pray for me. God bless you. I love you from Manna Teacher Ministry, from my heart of hearts. God bless you. Good night.